Mindscape. Without the discerning capacity of our minds, there would be no knowing of any landscape, inner or outer. When we become aware, when we rest in the knowing, we are resting in the deep essence of the mindscape, in the vast, empty spaciousness that is awareness itself. It is its own sense, perhaps the ultimate sense. Not that it's easy to come by or inhabit. Dwelling here in awareness, fully awake to the entire field of experience, however large or narrow we have set the lens, we readily observe that every aspect of experience comes and goes. No arising is permanent, no arising endures. Sights, sounds, sensations in the body, including of this in-breath and this out-breath, smells, tastes, perceptions, impulses, thoughts, emotions, moods, opinions, preferences, aversions, more opinions, all come and go, fluxing, changing constantly, offering us countless and rich opportunities to see into impermanence and our own habits of wanting and clinging. In any moment we can see, hear, touch, smell, taste, and know things as they are. It's not some ideal that we're striving for. Rather, it's the rich and multidimensional, multi-textured, kaleidoscopic reality of a momentary experience of being alive. Complex, yes, and yet so simple that it can be inhabited if we bring awareness to it. When we know something of the mindscape through a sustained cultivating of intimacy and familiarization with how things actually are in its domain, we are better able in any and every moment to let go of our fears that things will not work out for us, the future, and to let go of our various strivings to make sure that they will work out the way we want by subtly or not so subtly attempting to force them to, again, the future. In that moment, in any such moment, the spaciousness of awareness that we know and have tasted in our practice, once it develops some stability and consistency, or that we have at least caught an occasional whiff of, can rotate our orientation in the mindscape to an acknowledgement, if not a full acceptance, of things as they are. In any moment, then, we might actually come in touch with our own wholeness, our own beauty, beyond name and form, beyond appearance, beyond liking and disliking, beyond good and bad. Here and only here is peace to be found. Here and only here can we contribute our wisdom, our energies, and our love to those we love and to the world. And we do that through embodying our intimacy with the mindscape. So we could say that the mindscape includes the bodyscape, the realm of all the senses, the body itself, and vice versa. Mysteriously, the mindscape is utterly embodied and thus compassionate as well as wise. That doesn't mean, by the way, that in the next moment there won't be conflict and a lack of acceptance or a rending and a pulling in your mind or in your life. There may very well be. That is as much a part of the mindscape of human beings, even those who practice mindfulness, as anything else. But there may very well be a gradual shift in the balance over time, from more inner conflict to more equanimity, from more anger to more compassion, from predominantly seeing only appearances to a deeper apprehending of the actuality of things. Or this may be so at times and not so at other times. In any moment, there might be a degree of equanimity, a degree of self-compassion, a degree of insight, and those need to be noted and honored along with all the other creatures inhabiting this inner landscape. In the end, there is no ideal here that needs reaching for. The mindscape is just and always as it is. The challenge is, can we know it? Can we not be caught by it? Can we be free of it? Can we be free in it? Nowscape. Everything that unfolds, unfolds now, and so might be said to unfold in the nowscape. Time flows, time is passing, but we do not know what time is. And for us, when we ask what time it is, there is only one answer, and it shapes the moment no matter what Big Ben or your alarm clock or your watch is telling you. Guess what? Once again, it is now. The tiniest bit of reflection will make it evident to you that the present moment is the only moment we ever have in which to be alive. Perhaps that realization, seemingly so self-apparent and trivial, needs to sink in and drop deep down into our psyche, into the well of our own hearts. But it is actually very hard to take it in fully, to really fathom it. There is no time other than now. We are not, contrary to what we think, going anywhere. It will never be more rich in some other moment than in this one, although it may appear more pleasant or less, we don't know. But whatever the future brings, it will not be what you expect or what you think, and when it comes, it too will be now. It too will be a moment that can be very easily missed, just as easily missed as this one. And it too will be subject to continual change and the vagaries of all the causes and conditions that gave rise to it in previous moments.